What a joy it's been this morning to have the baptism of Sapphire. But last Sunday morning, Sue and I were up in Birmingham. We'd been invited to the celebration of the 50th anniversary of the opening of the church, where I was first curate at the beginning of the 1980s. Being in the church brought back a flood of memories, and seeing the font, remembering my first baptism. I'd observed and helped Michael, the vicar, do a couple of baptisms, and then he said, "The next one, Merv, you can do on your own." As the day approached, I was feeling pretty nervous, thinking about all the things that could possibly go wrong. The day came, and with no verger to set everything up, I had to do it myself. And I got everything ready, leaving the water to last. I wanted the water to be warm, so reckoned from the start of the service to the point of the baptism would be about 20 minutes. And then how the water poured into a cold font would suddenly cool down. The water to begin with, I concluded, needed to be quite warm. Well, the moment came in the service and I poured the water into the font and clouds of steam rose up, and for a second I lost sight of the congregation. I heard someone in the front row say, "Caw, that looks hot." I thought it did too and put my hand into the water and had to bite my lip, it was so hot. I excused myself and went and got some cold water, and all ended happily. Though I did think I'd have been in hot water had I scalded the child. But another thought was that baptism is the beginning of a journey of faith. And to be a follower of Jesus, seeking to live our lives as God intends, may bring us into conflict with the world's values. For to stand out and stand up for Jesus may get you into hot water. But of course, we're not alone. We have that great promise of Jesus to be with us. And he's given us the Holy Spirit to strengthen and guide us. Well, you may ask, what will help Sapphire and all of us who want to live lives in a way that honours God and the sacrifice Jesus made for each of us on the cross? What will help us to walk with him securely? Well, for those who are visitors with us this morning, as a church, we've been having a sermon series on the letter of James, of which we heard just a few verses earlier. James has written a very practical letter about practical Christian living. He has a lot to say about the tongue and our speech, because words can, as well as be encouraging, also can cause offence and hurt and inflame situations. I would be very surprised if anyone here this morning hasn't regretted something they've said. James recognises how people can tame animals, but how hard to tame the tongue. We need God's help in this and generally in living our lives in the way that God intends. And in just four verses, James gives us some clear pointers for our walk with God. It's verses 4-7 of chapter 4, if you want to open your Bibles to the passage, which is on page 1215. Firstly, says James, submit yourselves to God. Today in the church we acknowledge Christ as King. We stand right at the outset of the service, "Praise my soul, the King of heaven, to his feet our tribute bring." And acknowledging his authority as followers of his, we voluntarily submit to looking to him to guide and direct our lives. It would seem from the reading of James's letter that he was aware of problems in the church. They were quarrelling and fighting amongst themselves, wanting their own way. Put bluntly, they were not behaving in a godly or loving way, but allowing their own egos to take over. And when our egos take over, we simply are edging God out. Ego. E-G-O. Edging God out. And so, says James, submit yourself to God. Let him be Lord of your life. James knows if we think we know best and edge God out, we open the door to his enemy, the devil. And so, says James, resist the devil. I'm not talking about a little man with horns, red eyes and a fork in his hand, which sometimes is his caricature, a joke figure. But he is no joke, for the devil loves to cause confusion and dissension, is cunning and deceitful, and will seek to persuade us that wrong is right, to think it doesn't matter if we cheat or lie, for everybody does it. In the baptism, we made the sign of the cross on Sapphire's head, marking her out for Christ, and we said these words, fight valiantly as a disciple of Christ against sin, the world and the devil, and remain faithful to Christ to the end of your life. Resist the devil, says James. For us to do this, we need to be aware of his devious, cunning ways. Jesus, through his death on the cross and his resurrection, has won the victory over sin and the devil. But the devil keeps trying, which is why we must resist and say no to him having any influence or control in our lives. And if we do, there is a promise for standing up to him. He will flee. James says, submit to God, resist the devil. And next he says, come near to God. For God loves each and every one of us and longs for us to be in relationship with him. It may just be for some of you today, God seems far away. If that's so, let me ask, who moved? For God is only as far away as we make him. We may not be like the prodigal son Jesus told the parable about, who asked his father for his inheritance and went off and spent it all on wine, women and song, and then just felt so empty inside that he longed to be home and so turned back. And we have that lovely picture of his dad, like God, standing, looking and longing with his arms outstretched to welcome back the one who has gone astray. That may not be you, but you may have just drifted away, or maybe never given much thought to how Jesus loves us and wants to share in our lives. Our coming close to God carries too a promise, and he will come close to you. What a wonderful assurance that we're not alone. But if we're to come close to God, who is holy, we need to be fit for his presence. So says James verse 8, wash your hands, you sinners, and purify you hearts, you double-minded. Sapphire, who we can see is beautiful and adorable, but I'm going to make a prediction, and that is that Dan and Jason will not one day say to Sapphire, today we're going to teach you to be cheeky and rude, stubborn, argumentative, perhaps even selfish. Sadly, they won't have to teach her, for we all have the capacity for sin. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So when James says, wash your hands and purify your hearts, he's speaking about our outward actions and words and our inward motives and thoughts. Many of us I know will have enjoyed watching the programme Only Fools and Horses and the antics of Del Boy, who sold dodgy goods, exaggerated and never quite told the whole truth. We know it was wrong, but we laughed. James reminds us our sin causes offence to God and can cause hurt to others, like when our anger is not controlled, we gossip, are greedy and selfish, or harbour bitterness and resentment. Our sin is not a laughing matter. But we need to acknowledge its seriousness and is something we should grieve over. But we don't need to go on feeling bad or guilty when we mess up. For through Jesus' death on the cross, we can know his forgiveness and a fresh start. And that begins when we repent and grieve over the consequences of the wrongs we have done and ask for God's forgiveness. It's good news that we can know God's forgiveness. For all James says in verses 7 to 9 to be a reality for us, we need to do as he says in verse 10, to come humbly before the Lord. The opposite of humility is pride, and pride says, I can manage on my own. And often with pride goes self-sufficiency, and folk like that can be hard to help. It's when we come humbly before our loving God, recognise he knows what's best for us, and we surrender our wills to his will, that we have the promise he will lift us up. Today Sapphire begins a journey of faith, and we pray that she with her parents and godparents will grow together as they have promised in their knowledge of Jesus, for in him they have a friend to guide and help them through the ups and downs and challenges of life. But what of the rest of us? God loves us and longs to be part of our lives. Perhaps you know the joy of knowing Jesus' presence and power in your life already, and the good news that that is. But if you don't hold him at arm's length or bear your burdens and concerns on your own. Remember, come close to God, and his promise is to come close to you. Amen.